Hello, everyone. This episode of the Tiger's Den is brought to you by my good friend, Chris Farmer with Vic Realty. If you live in the greater New Orleans area or Baton Rouge and you're looking to buy or sell your house, Chris is the guy you need to call. When my mom retired and decided to sell her house, there was only one realtor that I trusted to handle the sale, and that was Chris Farmer. He's one of the most loyal and trustworthy people that I know, and he will work hard for you to get you the house of your dreams or to get your house sold. Chris has a great website where you can check out his listings or contact him directly. And that site is www.farmersellsnola.com. That is www.farmersellsnola.com. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Yeah!
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hope everyone is doing well. Appreciate all the listens and downloads from our first episode. This will be episode number 2. We've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of good things, some bad things, some unexplainable things, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with you. So let's get started with some LSU basketball. So last time we talked, LSU was getting ready to face South Carolina. They did win that game 85-80. Cam Thomas had 25 points. Watford had 23. Smart had 15. Days had 11. This particular game, the Tigers really kind of started off the first half a little slow, but they really they were down after the first half, but they were patient and fought back gradually and eventually were able to overtake South Carolina and, like I said, win 85-80. Now, the most recent game was against Bama. Bama is, at the time, was undefeated going into undefeated in SEC play going into the game. And I actually remain undefeated after this game. LSU was pretty much trounced in this game. It was kind of interesting going into the game because LSU and Bama were kind of mirror images of each other, both offensively and defensively. But one thing you definitely came out of this game realizing, and that was Bama likes three-point shots to the tune of they were 6-for-6 within the first 4 minutes of the game. And LSU was down 18-4 in a blink of an eye. And really, they weren't able to really come back from that. Bama ended up breaking the SEC record for threes. They made 23 three-pointers. The previous record was 21 three-pointers, which was held by Alabama that they set the year before. So, they definitely like threes. And LSU, it's not like the shots were uncontested. They, did an okay job of defending the perimeter. A lot of the shots were contested, but they were just hitting them. They had a guy, Petty, who was one of the better players in the country, and he was hitting them. LSU did have a good night at the free throw line, I guess. As you watch this team, Cam Thomas is really just a special player. He is a true freshman. He's 6'4". He's shooting 90% from the free throw line, which is just crazy. He's the kind of player that doesn't really show a lot of emotion. He's very even keel, which is I find frustrating to his opponents a lot of times. No matter what happens on the court, he always has the exact same expression on his face. So he doesn't get too high or too low, but man, he can shoot. He can just straight up shoot. He, I believe, is averaging 22 points a game. He's just killing it for LSU. Another big star for them is Watford. Wofford, the thing you have to talk about Wofford is, I mean, we got to take a second to talk about this man's hair. His hair is hilarious and ridiculous and awesome all at the same time. I don't know how to exactly describe it, but you have to go and watch LSU, if not just to see Wofford's hair. His hair is flat in the middle. It sticks out on the side. You know, I turned the game on and my daughter happened to see his hair. She's like, what is going on? He looks like a moose, and his hair almost does look like a moose. It looks like big moose antlers coming out of his head. It's quite funny. If you get a chance, please check out LSU. If not for any other reason, to see Wofford's hair. It is spectacular. So LSU lost this game. The final ended up being 105-75. Like I said, they got trounced. Alabama, man, they just seem to be on the next level. They kind of resemble their football team, you know, where they're just trouncing us left and right. But I really do think LSU bounced back. They play Kentucky on this Saturday at 5:00 on ESPN. Now you say, oh, Kentucky, you know, that might be a tough game. No. Kentucky is not the same Kentucky that you probably knew and grew up with. They are currently 4-9, so they're not doing too hot right now. LSU is 10-3, so coming into this game, I definitely look for the Tigers to bounce back. And, you know, hopefully we can get back in the win column. I really expect, you know, another big game from Thomas and Wofford. Smart also is a player who's, you know, senior who's really stepping up and has stepped up over the past however many years he's been at LSU. So we really look for them to get back on track versus the Kentucky Wildcats on Saturday at 5 on ESPN. Make sure you check out the game, please. You got to see Wofford's hair. I'm telling you, if not for the only reason, to see Wofford's hair. And I want y'all to tweet me about his hair, okay? I want hair tweets. I want pictures of the hair. I need it in my life. You don't understand how awesome this dude's hair is. So look for that. Trust me, you will not be able to miss it. Moving on, LSU football. Well, I guess the first thing and probably the most important thing and the elephant in the room is LSU still doesn't have a defensive coordinator. Now, whose fault is that? And there's a lot of debate about whose fault that is. And I'll get into more of that right now. LSU targeted the Saints defensive line coach, Ryan Nielsen. Ryan Nielsen has really reformed the Saints defensive line. They're playing at a, you know, all-time level. If you, you know, just look at their productivity, they're really a top tier defensive line. And Ryan Nielsen is regarded by the Saints as one of their top coaches. And Sean Payton even said today that he thinks Nielsen will end up being a head coach, possibly in the NFL one day. So with that being said, basically what happened was LSU targeted him. They talked to him. They had all the contract details figured out. They're ready to go. Ryan Nielsen walks into the office of Sean Payton and says, hey, coach, I'm going to LSU to be a defensive coordinator. Sean Payton says, sorry, bud, you have a contract that you signed that will not allow you to go to a college position unless I say you can go. Now, everybody knows and loves petty Sean Payton. But I don't know that he was necessarily – he was a little petty in this instance, but it wasn't, like, unreasonably petty in this instance. The guy did have a contract, and it wasn't that he turned down LSU to stay with the Saints. He stayed with the Saints because he's under contract to stay with the Saints. He wanted to come to LSU. But Sean Payton said, I'm not letting you go. I am not – I'm losing all these coaches left and right. The Saints are. And so Sean Payton said, nope, not going to happen. You're staying. Now, with all that being said, oh, also, in order for him to stay, not in order for him to stay, but because he's staying, they decided to give him a 3-year contract extension give him a pay raise, and bump him up to the title of assistant head coach. So that's what Nielsen got for staying with the Saints. Bottom line is LSU screwed this up. The reason why Ryan Nielsen probably isn't with LSU right now is because LSU screwed it up. Instead of LSU has known for a while that Bo Pelini was probably going to be fired at the end of the year. Not only did they know that, after they fired him, they had a good amount of time to do their research. When you're researching a coach, you can't just look at what he can do on the field. You need to look at his current situation. Ryan Nielsen's current situation was he was coaching for the Saints, and he was under contract. Why didn't they investigate that? They did all this great research, but you forget the one most important thing. Hey, he's already got a job. Okay, is he under contract? Oh, look, he is. So what do you do if he's under contract? You look at the language of the contract. LSU didn't even contact Sean Payton to say, hey, do you mind if we interview Ryan Nielsen for this defensive coordinator position? Had they done that, they may be having him right now. But they didn't do that. They just went off and did their own thing and didn't give a care about anybody else and their situation. And Sean Payton had every right to do what he did, and he probably should have done what he did, if not alone for the disrespect that he was shown by not even being asked to interview the guy. When Ryan Nielsen walked into Payton's office, that was the first Coach Payton had ever heard of this, even being an instance, even being the situation. He didn't even know Nielsen was being looked at for DC. That is 100% on LSU. I don't know who dropped the ball, but somebody did. And this defensive coordinator position has been a comedy of errors. And it's not even a funny comedy. It has just been one bad error after the other. So LSU is 100% to blame for them not having this guy as their defensive coordinator. Sean Payton might have blocked it if they had asked. Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe if they had asked, he still might have said no. Then they wouldn't have had to waste their time and they could have gone after somebody else. But they didn't. They had a list of people they wanted to hire. Now all those people are gone. They've all been hired by somebody else. So where do you go? Where do you go? I have no clue where you go. What I do know is you look like a buffoon. And whoever you get to come in now is going to be like, I'm third fiddle. I'm the third person you asked to get this job because you couldn't seal up the other two. How's that going to make the new coach feel? Maybe he'll have a chip on his shoulder. Maybe he'll have something to prove. I don't know. But I know I wouldn't want to be third fiddle to anybody. LSU 100% screwed this up. And now, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? We're a laughing stock. An absolute laughing stock. And coming off the season you just had, where you were pretty much a laughing stock then too, because you won a national championship the year before, you come back, your team ain't great. Your defensive is historically bad. So everybody's already laughing at you. And now you can't even hire a defensive coordinator properly. I don't know if this is O. I don't know if this is Scott Woodward. I hope it's not Scott Woodward, because all I heard him coming in, he's great. He's organized. He's the man. He's going to do great things for LSU. But they keep bumbling stuff. So, I don't know. I don't know who it is. I don't know whose fault it is, but it's somebody's fault. and they need to get it fixed quick. And I don't even know how you fix it. All right. That's my rant on defensive coordinator. Some good news for LSU football. George Munoz is coming back. He was an analyst in the national championship year. He worked with the quarterbacks a good bit. You know, if you've listened to any Joe Burrow interview, they've come in. He's mentioned him and praised him. He went to Baylor last year to be with Dave Aranda and is now coming back to LSU. So it's a very good hire. He knows the offense. He knows, you know, what they want to do with it. And I think it's a very good, rehire. Next, Dare Rosenthal, some more good news. Offensive lineman for the Tigers says he's coming back next year. With him saying that, the whole offensive line is now coming back. Not only is the whole offensive line coming back, you have 20 of 22 starters that played in the final few games for LSU, which really were their best games of the year. They are coming back. So that is very good news. One thing Coach O can do is recruit. He can't hire a defensive coordinator, but he can recruit. And he's recruited, had to basically recruit back a lot of his players. So 20 of 22 starters coming back. That is excellent. It's good to have that continuity. It's good to have those teammates back. And, you know, we'll see what they can do. I guess we need a coach first, a defensive coordinator. At least we got offensive coordinator. So LSU's also made a few offers to people recently. They offered Bo Bordelon out of Newman for 2022. He's an offensive tackle. His dad, Ben, played for LSU. Most of y'all probably know his mom. She was the hot blonde in the White House Get the Gat video that LSU did. So that's Bo's mom. So that's nice. And then also today, cornerback Marcus Scott from Texas committed to LSU. So that is great news for the Tigers. It looks like they're on their way to having a good 2022 recruiting class. So, you know, that's exciting. You know, hopefully we can get some coaches in to get these guys in. And, you know, the funny thing is Coach O, which I said in the first podcast, is coaching for his job. He's coaching for his job. He needs to get the right coordinators in here. I just don't understand, if you're coaching for your job, how you screw it up this bad. I really just don't understand that. But be that as it may. Switching gears to LSU baseball. Finally, we have an LSU baseball schedule released, which is always an exciting time. The LSU baseball season will start on February 19th, which is, you know, less than a month away. They will be going against Air Force in their first game. It's their first series is always a military appreciation series. They always have some team from the military. So they will have Air Force on February 19th. Then they will have Notre Dame on the 20th on Saturday and La Tech on Sunday. So that'll be a good schedule to start off with. They will begin SEC play on March 19th. So they'll have about a month worth of games to get ready for the SEC schedule. They start SEC schedule on March 19th versus Mississippi State. As we get closer to the first game on the 19th, and then probably again before the SEC schedule starts, we'll do a preview of the season, I guess. We'll go through and talk about some of the players that will be on the team that will be starting. As I mentioned last week, you could have up to four starters be freshmen. So it'll be interesting. I'm hoping, or well, you know, usually by the time the SEC starts, their schedule starts for SEC games in March, they will have the rotation kind of figured out, the pitching rotation. They'll have the players and positional players figured out. Because once that SEC season starts, you really don't want to be, and those weekend series starts, you really don't want to be, you know, messing with your lineup too much. You should be pretty much set at that point. You might have a few things here and there based on how people are doing or injuries, but you really kind of want to have that schedule set. So, like I said, as we get closer, we will definitely be previewing the season. We will be talking about players and kind of giving a breakdown and a preview of what we can expect from them. So I'm very much looking forward to that. As I said before, I'm a big baseball guy, big baseball fan, big LSU baseball fan, and have been a big LSU baseball fan for a long time since Skip Bertman was around. So in the early 90s. So looking forward to that. We will now move on to gymnastics, your favorite subject, your favorite sport, I guess I should say. Gymnastics. LSU were able to defeat the Arkansas Razorbacks 197 to 196. The 197 score was the second highest score in the country for week two of the gymnastics season. So excellent job. Now, I kind of want to get into a little bit how the scoring is done. What do you mean 197 was a high score? Like, how did they get 197 points? So let's kind of break down just a second how the point system works, how they get that score, things like that. So there are four events in a gymnastics meet. Well, first of all, you play against another team. So let's say we played against Arkansas in that particular game. That particular meet. So there are four events per meet. Each team does each event. They rotate. The events are beam, vault, uneven bars, and floor. So there are four events. Each team will have six gymnasts do each event. So you'll have six do beam, six do vault, six do bars, six do floor. They drop the lowest score. So whoever has the lowest score, they drop. So only five scores count. What they do is, how you get the 197 is, basically, they just add up all the scores for each event. So you take your five beam scores, your five highest beam scores, you add it to your five highest vault scores, you add that to your five highest uneven bars, and that to the five highest floor, and that gets you total score 197. When you have a meet against another team like Arkansas, once you add up all the events, if you have more points than the other team does, you win. Basic math. There is also an all-around champion. Now, an all-around champion is a gymnast who performs in every event. Not every gymnast performs in every event. So let's say Olivia Gunter, for example, only does floor. She doesn't do beam. She doesn't do vault. She doesn't do any bar. She doesn't do the floor. So she wouldn't be able to participate in all around. There are only about maybe three or four girls that do every event. Whoever has the highest score between those four events is the all-around champion. So, all-around champion, Haley Bryant from LSU in the Arkansas match. Meet, I should say. I keep saying match. Meet. She had a all-around score of 39.6. It was the third highest all-around score in the nation for week two. Not only with that, but Haley also was named SEC Gymnast of the Week, which was awesome. So congrats, Haley, on that honor. Up next, LSU will be going against Georgia. That will be on Friday night, the 22nd, at the PMAC at 7:15. This meet is actually on ESPN Network Plus. I don't know, a lot of people get that. You could probably watch it on the ESPN app, but it is versus Georgia. It says 7:15. It's either 7:15 or 7:30 on SEC Network Plus. So you could probably get that on the ESPN app. I imagine that probably be the only way you can watch it. So look, check it out. The team is doing great so far. Obviously, they're 2-0, the 1-0 in SEC. So, you know, Georgia, we're going, you know, they're coming here. It ought to be a great environment at the PMAC if you can get in. Obviously, they're with COVID, there's only a certain amount of tickets available. But if you can get to the PMAC and see them, please do. If you can't, check them out on ESPN app, SEC Plus. You should be able to find them. I've never had an issue finding them on there. So that is all the show I believe we have for you. Again, I just want to thank everybody for the downloads on the first episode. I really do appreciate it. A few people have reached out to me and, you know, given me thoughts on the show. And I, like I said in the first episode, I always appreciate any kind of constructive criticism. I look forward to it. I look forward to continuing doing this podcast as long as y'all are listening in. So with that, that's all the show we have for you right now. Again, I just want to thank all loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Tiger's Den podcast, which is on the Dome Patrol United Network, where you can subscribe to one feed and receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show to Saints games, the Dome Patrol podcast, the BS and Beer podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and then this show, The Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and Tiger_podcast, which is the Twitter handle for this podcast, The Tiger's Den. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can always go to domepatrolpodcast.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you on the other side. Good night, Tiger Nation. To the mind of a maniac, doomed to be a killer since I came out the nutsack. A man of